Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When I say longtime friend, I don't mean of me, but of Darren Smith. Tim Flannery and I certainly have always gotten along. That's great. That's for sure. But way back is where he goes with Darren Smith. Of course, you see Tim on NBC Sports Bay Area as a Giant analyst. He is still somewhere in his mind, I'm sure, waving guys around third base. Love to watch that pump and arm. Also, and he knew the arm strength of outfielders.
Everybody.
This guy was one of the best third base coaches there was. And he's appearing on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. Tim, thank you very much for joining us. I know you're not doing it for me, but you're doing it for Darren. I appreciate that.
Oh, Damon, I'd do anything. We've been friends 12 years now. I've been up here that long. And Darren, I've known him for ages. And his great radio work in San Diego, we've always listened to. But also, Darren and I had a pregame show every day before, about 2 years worth of before Padre games when I was taking a break from coaching. We were hanging out doing pregame shows and causing a little bit of trouble. It's been fun.
Now, could you imagine that, Damon? Flan and I causing a little bit of trouble around the gas lamp in San Diego. Does that sound like something that he and I would do?
I could absolutely see that happening. Yeah, right. Did you ever, when you're playing one of your acoustic gigs, make him go full roadie on you and carry your guitar around?
I'll tell you what, I did play up at Joshua Tree at Pappy and Harriet's. It's a great landmark up there, and he drove all the way up there one night to see us play up there in the Joshua Tree area. So, yeah, he is strong enough to hang out with the lunatic fringe, I'll tell you that.
Yes, that is, now, I'm strong enough to hang, but it takes a couple of days to get past that.
Yeah,
sure.
Not many people go three straight days. Usually when we do shows, we'll do three in a row, and even I have to sometimes go lay down for a couple days because I'm like the only normal one in the whole band. Think about that.
There you go. Tim Flannery here on 95.7 The Game. Let's start with what you said about Madison Bumgarner, because a lot of people are talking about your comments where you essentially said that if the Giants are going to keep him, you extend him right here and now, and you take care of him because of the team-friendly deal that he signed, because of who he is, what he means historically. And also, baseball is in a weird place, and it's off-season now. And basically, it felt like you were making the argument that you don't want to see this guy get keikled, like Dallas Keuchel just went through, because of a pick that now needs to be sent back, which major league teams are so reluctant to do these days.
Yeah, and you know what happens, too, when you, as you well know, when you write an article, you don't always or very rarely write the headline. So the headline said that I wanted him traded. I don't want him traded. The article will tell you what I wanted. I'd like to have them sign him right now. I mean, he's 29 years old. He's pitching fantastic. This is a big market that and there's a lot of innings. There's a lot of innings during the season, and somebody's got to pitch him. So I would that would be my selfish favorite scenario, but we also know that the way the system has gone, that if in fact these guys go free agents, that compensation draft that's ignorantly that was negotiated in the collective bargaining by the players, it's starting to affect people. I mean, it was Arrieta a couple years ago. You saw Kimbrel and Keuchel this year.
Yeah.
And then the organization itself doesn't get anything back. So I don't know if you just let it play out and then he looks around and decides he'd like to come back if there is an offer here. I don't know. That's the type of stuff I don't know. I just know how many chips do you have to make this club get better moving forward. So it's a tough decision to be in Farhan's seat, but because he wants to make this club better, but you might have to make this club better just because you need a guy like Madison Bumgarner pitching once every 5 days going forward. So Has things changed? I think they might have changed in the last week, but I also know that that front office and Farhan, you know, a wild card game's one game. You're not guaranteed more than one game if you win, even get in that situation. So, but hey, we've won it before. We ran the board that way before, so we've all seen it and we all know it can happen. But just in the last 7 days, I mean, because there's still 9 days left till the deadline. The more you say, I think about it, the more you think about it is they're probably going to wait till the very last moment because we've seen so much that can happen in 7 days. I mean, the Giants last Monday were in last place, 43-49, and today they're tied for second with a 500 record. And they passed three teams in the wild card standings doing it. So they did that in seven. They got 9 days coming up, and they're going to be playing some tough teams. So you'll probably know a little bit more. But even if they fall out of it, you're still going to need a pitcher to pitch next year, and he's pretty good.
So, not bad, that guy. He's on a nice little run as well. So, Flan, what's gotten into these guys? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. You can take it over their last 18. You can look over the last week. What's gotten into them? You're there every single night. You're watching it. What's the difference between the Giants of a month ago and the Giants of today?
Well, we could look at really – we can say, well, the core players started hitting, Cross started going, and Posey's had a nice week. But I like to go all the way back to just look, we can talk about the outfield. I mean, when Dickerson showed up, he brought something that we haven't seen. He brought, and everybody knew him because he'd been around the league, and they all knew his story that he had 2 years where the game was taken away from him. And, you know, then the Padres just ran out of time with him because they had a bunch of their young players coming up. But that day in Arizona, I think that changed a lot. And then you look at the outfield depth that they have and they've created and they've earned and they've forged because they've used everybody in, you know, they've used a lot of different players to try to find out who could get it done. And with Yaz, Dickerson, and Pilar right now, they've changed the whole outfield. I mean, there was no production really coming out of the outfield, and now they're first in doubles, extra base hits, and RBIs and runs of late. So, you're getting offense there. The bullpen's always been steady, and some of the young arms are stepping up. It's a great lesson for players who can, like Yaz or Dickerson. But he already knows the business of the game. But a guy like Yaz, he did this whole thing like an hour after he was supposed to be auctioned back down because they needed another arm in Denver. He knows that this game is a game of production unless you are an established veteran with a big contract, and even then you want them to produce. But he knows if he doesn't hit on Sunday, he's not in on Monday, and if he doesn't play on, you know, you got to do it every single day, and it's the best lesson they can learn because you'll never have regrets when it's all said and done. And mentally, we found out about his mind. We found out that, and sure, he might be an extra outfielder, but for now, this guy is killing it, playing great defense. He knows the situations. I just love watching him play. You know, I love overachievers. And this guy's special. He understands the game. And with Dickerson and Pilar doing the thing, so you're getting more offense there. Obviously, they're scoring more. But they also are starting to believe in it, you know. I mean, I know they took three out of four of the Mets, and they were all extra inning games. But I don't look at that as saying, wow, they just barely snuck by and they won. I look at it because I've seen it. Oh, is something happening here? You know, is something magic going on? Is destiny going to step in? Because you can't tell me 2010, 12, and 14, we were the best team. We were the best team together. We were strong with our parts together, a lot stronger than each individual could be without the team. And that's what these guys are starting to believe, because when they see a situation unfold, they go, hey, it's my time tonight. It's my time to get the big hit. This is what's happening. So I don't know what they call it. You know, I know it can't be quantified, even though Flanalytics quantifies it.
Flanalytics, I love that.
Quantum physics equals momentum. It's easy because, like I talked about, Hunter Pence didn't have one hit when he gave us that giant speech in Cincinnati. He didn't even have a hit, and he probably made more effect than anybody just by getting everybody on the same page.
What the hell do you think he did to turn his career around? Hunter Pence was washed when it was over in San Francisco. Is it just Texas heat?
He's changed a couple things, but you know, I remember last year, the last 20 days of the season, I was every day doing a Hunter Pence highlight, and people were mad at me saying, "He's done. Get what are you doing?" If you know, I'm going, I don't care if you think he's done. And I told this to Ahmed, who I was working with. It's nobody's business or job to tell you when your career's over with. When he feels like it's over with, then you'll go home. But he was healthy. He doesn't have kids. He doesn't have that responsibility. He has a wife that loves to travel and be a part of the whole thing and support him. He always is in great shape. He changed his routine a little bit. And started hitting the ball right center field, which he always should have done. In the last year or so here, he started really bailing. I don't want to say bailing. He just got in a bad habit of pulling off the ball, and he could not hit the ball away or a breaking ball. So I'm so happy for him. And you see, the guy just loves the game. And you know, what's the old make him tear the uniform off of you? That's what he's going to do. He's definitely not just playing for money. He's playing because he loves the game so much. And that can go a long way, too, when you get in the right situation or you create that right situation, which he's known to have done.
Tim Flannery here on 95.7 The Game. So Bruce Bochy is decidedly old-school manager. Farhan Zaidi is a decidedly new-school general manager. I'm sure you've seen examples of the two fitting together well, the examples of, you know, guys from different camps not fitting together well. Can you tell us a little bit about the communication and how information flows between Bruce Bochy and Farhan Zaidi? And if you think that they are an odd couple or actually a complementary couple to each other?
I think they're very complimentary to each other. I think they both really respect one another. Bochy also knows that this is the way the game has really moved because this didn't just start now. This is actually what got Bochy and myself up here to San Francisco, because in 2005, 2006, Sandy Alderson was down in San Diego, and that's how it started. He'd have a computer readout, and this guy would, about 4 feet tall, would walk into Bochy's office every day with a computer readout saying, "This is who's supposed to play today, and here's the lineup." And Bochy would say, "Take that back to whoever made it and tell them to shove it." Now, this went on for a while. And I was down there, and then I said some stuff on the radio when I was doing the radio there, because I couldn't understand it either. It was something I'm like, going, what? You know, you're going to take the instinct and the gut and the feel from this manager, the guy that knows how to do this, you're going to take it away? So he had a year left on his contract, and that's when Kevin Towers told him, Sandy, they're not going to pick up your contract. So Sabes got wind of it. He came north, and then he called me and says, "You got another ride left in you?" And he goes, they're trying to win up there. So I always thought when we were up here, it was like the last of the old school as I know it, because we'd sit in meetings with Brian Sabian, Dick Tidrow, Chicken Stanley. I mean, you go right around the room, Ragetti, Mark Gardner, everybody in there had really glorious careers for the most part. And the analytics were there, but they weren't really – there was only one guy with a computer, and he couldn't talk unless Saves told him he could talk. It was different. It was different. So, but now this is where it's headed, and Bochy is always willing to use – that's what makes him and made him the great manager. He can make adjustments with front office people. He has made adjustments with systems, but – you know, I remember in spring training when I go over there and I do that 1 week of fake coaching where I just kind of get in my uniform and hang out on the bench with everybody. That's what he said. He goes, you know, Houston and Chicago, everyone wants to have that, say, that's the blueprint. That's the blueprint. But they only won one World Series, Bochy said. He goes, why aren't we the blueprint? And I think Farhan has really still they complement each other because they believe that you can do both. It's not all this way, because you still got the pitching, you still got the bullpen, you still got to play defense in this ballpark. I think it's a great mix. I think they're going to, you know, Farhan is going to be fabulous. He's a very personal man. He called me out the first week when I tweeted that when I saw who was in the outfield on opening day, I tweeted that the Russians had hacked the Giants' computers. And so I got a call immediately from him, and it was great. He explained it to me. He goes, Tim, I know you're very passionate, but listen, we can't fix the outfield just yet because we're trying to get Pilar, but until Toronto sees their young outfielders play, they want to make sure they can handle it before he trades Pilar. So it was an explanation that it kind of schooled me a little bit as well on how he works it, getting guys in, getting guys out. You get an opportunity to perform, you better perform, especially if you're out of options. And if you're out of options, you get released. We've seen that a couple times this week and before. So I think Boach is, he's not going to put his foot down anyway. He's open for however Farhan wants to do it, because what Boach's strength is being, letting the guys be themselves. And he's going to respect the ones. He's not going to move Buster out of the four hole as much as all of us think. Oh, we could, you know, now we've won and now we got to go for it. He's gonna honor the guys that brought him here and won three world championships. He's not just gonna yank him out and put him in the eighth hole, because they won a bunch in a row and all of a sudden the fans are excited. You know, he's got his fingers on the pulse.
Not eighth, but like we can drop him to sixth, right? I mean, come on.
Well, he ain't gonna do it. He ain't gonna do it. He likes Buster Posey and honors Buster Posey more than he likes any of us. He respects Bumgarner more than he likes any of us, because he let Bum hit when everybody didn't want him to hit. Even though he's 76 pitches into it, the bullpens needed a break. There was one out. There wasn't two out. I mean, there's some, but you can name all the reasons, but it was out of respect for the man. And that's why guys play for him. That's why these guys play for him, because all of that stuff's leaving. Next year, there'll be numbers. Then if you want a guy to hit eighth and the computer says it, seventh, they'll move him down. The manager will go, oh, you got it. Sure, we'll move him down. That's not going to happen until Bruce Bochy walks out the door. Like it or not, I'm just telling you.
So there might be something to that rallying for the manager from inside of that clubhouse based on what you know of them and their makeup.
I'm not sure it's around the manager as much as it is the manager understands and these guys understand that you're going to all have to play together, and this is the new system. There's going to be a lot of people coming in. There'll be a lot of people going out. If you get an opportunity to play, you better produce. If you don't produce, you're going to be optioned out if you have options, and they're going to keep them coming, because the only way you can really rebuild right now is to try to find some of these nuggets and give guys opportunities, the minor league free agents like our man Zach Green, who showed up yesterday. So other than that, you only got a few trade chips, and but then again, we're going back to that draft and the compensation stuff. So there's a lot going on, and they got 9 days to kind of figure out which direction they want to go.
It's so funny, Tim, that this is the year where there really aren't two deadlines, and it's the year where the Giants could have really used a second sort of deadline to buy a little bit more time.
Absolutely.
So knowing that this is it, do you see this Cubs series in any way as a canary in the cage series for Farhan?
I don't really know if it matters. I think in 9 days, there will either be an offer from a team that really makes this ball club better. Somebody who might even be willing to overpay to get a Will Smith or a Madison Bumgarner or the rest of those pieces that they have to make this club better, rather than just trying to believe, hey, we're in it. We're going to try to win one game in a wild card, and if it works out, we're going to try to go deep in the playoffs. But you still got to think about next year. You're still going to need somebody to pitch. You're still going to need a closer. You're still going to, you know, some of these guys, why do they have to be free agents? I bet if you give them an offer and give them a chance, especially what's happening down here in this clubhouse, there is a little bit of mojo and there is a little bit of togetherness growing.
No denying.
it might be sign him, right? Sign him.
All right, the $65,000 most important question of the baseball season. Should they move the fences in at Oracle Park?
I don't. I like it just the way it is. You've already juiced the baseball, right? So that's, you're seeing opposite field home runs. I mean, I know Yaz is strong, but they see opposite field home runs. You're seeing them all over the league all the time. If somebody gets a ball on their pool side and crushes it, that ball probably would go anyway. But there's some that are just carrying further. And I love Triples Alley. You know how many inside the park? I had 8 inside the park home runs up here in those years when I coached third base. That's so much fun.
Hey, man, tore his rotator cuff sending him around.
You just start, that ball goes in there. And during batting practice, when guys would hit out there, you know, instead of getting mad, like, oh, I'd always yell out, inside the park home run, just so it'd get in their mind to take off. You know, you just never know with all the weird things down there in right center field.
Final question, again, equally as important about the outfield fences. Who is the greatest guitar player of all time? Who is a guitar player that we need to know more about? Recommend some new music for me, Flan.
That's a great question. One of the great guitar players, of course, we know is our man Carlos Santana, who's incredible. I mean, the cat from the Dawes is fantastic. I got a guy who plays with me, Doug Pettibone, is world class. He plays with John Mayer and Mark Knopfler hired Doug Pettibone to tour with him as their guitar player.
That's all you need to know, right?
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
So, yeah, there's a lot of great music out there, and it we've been doing it. We released a new record. In fact, I just gave one to Darren. I'll try to get you one as well. And of course, you guys know what we do with all the money. We give it away to our Love Harder project, the anti-violence, anti-bullying. It's just kind of our ministry. But we'll be out there playing. We come through here in August and play some shows. But
you playing Terrapin anytime soon? Terrapin Station.
I'm playing Hop Monk September 1st at Novato. It's an outside concert series that we've sold out for 6 years. It's so much fun. It's like an early evening summer show. I'm going down to play. You know, I live out over in Half Moon Bay when I'm here, and I go into that OPL.
I love the OPL.
I love it. Neil Young walked in there and played 12 times. So I said, you know what? We can play this place.
By the way, Damon, Flan used to tell me this. There were only two seasons. There was baseball season and there was music season. I feel like that's something from yesteryear now, because music season goes 365, doesn't it?
It does. It really has changed a lot of things, because you can just keep going and keep writing and keep playing. But OPL, August 10th and August 31st. I'm playing Grateful Dead night at the ballpark August 9th, singing the anthem with, I think, either the boys that they're in town or my band. And so, yeah, we're playing a lot of music, but doing a lot of this TV and following this ball club that I'm really excited about watching.
Let's see if we can get Bob Weir and Mickey Hart with you that day. That'd be pretty cool. Flan, thank you so much. You're one of the coolest dudes in the world. I'm telling you, you have so much enthusiasm to you. Did you ever think twice about stepping away from the game? No regrets at all?
No regrets at all. I don't miss any of it. I'll tell you what, I don't even know how I did it. When I look back and I said that I was in the big leagues 26 years on that schedule, you know, every day, you know, as a coach, you're 12 hours days, it seems like. It's very physical. And then you immediately hop on. It's all you thought about. And I love it. But it's hard for me to even watch 162 games, you know? I mean, I'll keep an eye on it. And I really, before I come in here, I'm all over it. And I'm not doing the MLB Network anymore, where you had to know all 30 teams every single day. That was fun and it was great. But, I love being a grandpa. I love being a baseball analyst. I love to front a band and play for 3 straight days and then take Advil and drink some vodka, because everything hurts.
Tim, you are the man. Thank you so much, pal. Really appreciate you coming on with us.
You guys sound great together.
See you, Flam.
There you go.
Bye.
Tim Flannery.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.